Welcome back to another episode of The Roundtable. My name is Gideon.
My name is Jules, and I'm very excited to say that we have Dex and Mila from Tiger Star here in the studio tonight.
What's going on?
Hey, yeah. What's up?
How's it going?
Hey.
Now, you guys have been a songwriting team through a couple of bands and many years. How did you first come together?
Musically.
That makes sense.
We met at this little bar, and I think you were hosting it, right? That night?
Yeah. I was working for a bar. And
I heard it was open mic, and I brought in my guitar, and he saw that I was going to go up, and he goes, hey, you know, I can play with you. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I just want to go up and try some songs. But
so
then we started
instant
talking.
Magic.
Yeah,
we basically discussed, the possibilities of working on music and songwriting together and like getting a project together. And, she was a great singer and, I do my guitar thing and worked out pretty well as a musical partnership. Took it from there.
You guys both have very different musical backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Tell us a little bit about the first music, whether it was as a teenager or as a child, that really inspired you and really moved you.
I grew up on heavy on 80s pop. So everything like Michael Jackson, Madonna. But the first person I really followed besides Michael Jackson and Madonna, like vocally, was Whitney Houston. Mm. So I taught myself everything she did. I would perform with that in bars when I was like 13. So I did that a lot. I loved it. And then, I would practice with that. And then vocally, I just kind of came into my own style. So That's where I started.
I guess I was fortunate to listen to a lot of really good music when I was growing up, like Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, stuff like that. Just like my parents got me into cool music. And I feel like, my parents played classical. My dad played classical guitar and, that was some really good music too. I also, I grew up on a lot of heavier sort of stuff like thrash and death metal, like Meshuga, Pantera, Slayer, stuff like that. So I guess I grew up on some heavier sort of music.
Some prog shredding in there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's amazing that you guys,
fusion.
Exactly. Fused together in such a way. And like Jules mentioned before, even Tiger Star, this band, has been through, almost countless reincarnations at this point, and you've now come to this new area of music that's very different from the glammy spandex stuff that you used to do.
Yeah, good old days.
So tell us about how the musical evolution of the band actually led you to this point.
Yeah, you know what? Those songs started out with, I don't know, because it was we both love glam, like glam anything, and then I think it was just literally a natural progression, because for a while I started writing these songs that we're doing now, but they were trickling, they were behind, and we were just kind of living out our moment, just living out what we were feeling like at the time. And then it came to a point where it felt like, okay, we've done this for so long and it's time to, it just felt like you just wanted to grow and try something else.
Time for change.
It was just burning inside of me. I just wanted to come out and get these songs out. So I approached Dex and I said, you know what? I love the stuff we're doing, but I feel like it's time to shake it up and try another form of metal that I love so much.
I think we were also trying to find a happy medium, like something that we could both agree on.
Yeah.
Emila coming from more of a poppy background and me coming from more like heavy and, metal and death metal and things like that. So, a good in between was, we both agreed on bands like Whitesnake, Deep Purple, Scorpions, Rainbow, even like a bit of like Iron Maiden, Ronnie James Dio, and Judas Priest,
sure,
and all that. So like, the classic metal was a really good in between where there's still, really good, singing, like clean vocals and all that, but then the guitar
is still
heavy
too. It made sense
because,
I love ballads and, belting out, and I just love it. It just made sense. And, at the same time, we never tried to fit in anywhere. Like, we just kind of carved our own path. We really didn't care, like, what people said or thought, because we knew we weren't totally, like, entirely one style and entirely another. We were kind of like a fusion. And we just told ourselves, we're just doing it for the love, for the passion, and we're going to ride it out. And, you know, you expect backlash, but it really didn't matter to us because we're just doing what we love.
And in today's musical climate, too, I mean, labeling yourself is kind of a pointless endeavor because, you know, there's 1,300 different kinds of metal and 1,400 kinds of rock. Like, it's better to just define yourself, like you said.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we're just playing what we're feeling at the time and what, you know, music that the two of us can relate to and agree on and, you know, stuff that is a really good in between. You know, because we both have songwriting involvement, right? So
yeah, and it seems like the work in the band is divided up well. Like Mila's doing the vocal stuff, you're doing the instrumental. Like it's a logical fit.
Yeah.
How do your ideas come together?
Well, I guess I do a lot of recording. She does a lot of the business stuff, and we both have to agree on ideas. And
yeah.
You know, inspiration comes kind of randomly, and you know, I think good songs mm-hmm. have a way of writing themselves, and you know, sometimes it can be. Almost like, you know, we're a beacon for inspiration to come in and, you know,
we call on each other. Like Dex will call me and be like, Mila, I got this idea. I got this crazy riff. Like, listen to this. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then I'll change something. Then I'll add something melodically, vocally. And then we just kind of, we've gone through so much, like me and Dex as a songwriting team and we bonded. So we know how we tick and we know what works for the other. So like he'll write something and be like, I know she won't like that, you know. So he knows me well. I know him well. So it's a good songwriting team. We're able to figure stuff out pretty quickly.
And, you know, sometimes I'll come up with something and then she'll be like, it's okay, but like this needs to change and you need to. So she's also a really good producer as well in that regard.
Well, you need to be able to temper each other. And that's the best sort of band member where you can actually sort of be an outside perspective and a little bit of a producer
yeah.
and say, you know what, that's really good, but, you know, maybe if we did this and this.
Yeah.
And you know, to be able to have that sort of honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the structuring. It's important. Because it's hard for him sometimes because he'll come up with an idea and work on it for literally, I remember you worked overnight, he didn't sleep, and the next morning he's like, you got to hear this, and I heard it in 30 seconds, I'm like, I know right away in 30 seconds, and I'm like, I hate it. I'm sorry. And it crushed him. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I mean, it's all a part of the process. I mean, sometimes you can write like 30 songs and you might end up just keeping like one or two of them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe, you know, none of them. It depends. Sometimes, you know, songs go through a lot of changes before the final versions come out.
Absolutely. And you guys both have active side projects as well. So I'm sure that like, if you have one idea that you're really excited about and the other isn't, then it's like, okay, that's just going to be a Mila Star song instead.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's worked out really, really well.
Nice.
In terms of the newer stuff, I think we're moving into more progressive metal. And yeah, like it is partially a way where we're staying current and keeping modern and all that, but it's something that we're really into. And it just happened, I think, just naturally, just from playing music, it's been getting more technical and more evolved and more modern on its own, just the way we've been writing. So
yeah, because I grew up on a lot of Linkin Park and Evanescence, so it was already there. It wasn't like a conscious decision. It was just something that was burning to kind of come out.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you guys are tapping into the crazy amount of versatility that exists within metal. I mean, especially even if you go back to 80s and 70s sort of stuff where, you know, yeah, they would do slow songs and ballads and all sorts of different stuff. And I mean, whatever, if you look at current metal, there's, you know, almost any direction that you could go into whilst, you know, essentially still keeping the same sort of motifs.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we're both really into bands like Tesseract and, you know, I'm really into Animals as Leaders and Intervals. Mm. Intervals is from Toronto as well. And, you know, I really like Periphery and bands like that too. So it's like, I guess we're branching out into more modern, you know, progressive metal and things like that. And it's really fun.
Cool.
So.
So it sounds a lot like for both of you, the music that you're listening to is really inspiring the music that you make. What is the relationship between the two?
Oh, for me, well, it goes, yeah, because it all started for me in, I'd say, like the late 90s when I started listening to Linkin Park. And then they were a pretty great influence. And then Evanescence came out and a whole slew of other new metal bands. I don't know. You really can't describe why you like something. You just, you know, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been in the back of my mind, so to speak, because I love all types of genres. I've never said like, oh, I just like pop, you know, because I grew up on that. It's not true, because I went through phases of where I experimented with so many different styles.
You didn't wanna be found out.
Yeah, I think, you know, another thing we've really been agreeing on is a big part of our new sound is that we're introducing more strings. Like, I'm playing more 7-string guitars as opposed to 6-string.
Nice.
And I actually now moving into 8-string guitars. And you know, even just like the amps you use, like I was always a big tube amp guy. Now I'm using, you know, Fractal Audio Axe Effects. And, you know, Mila and I both really, really like the sounds we're getting from that. It's really just, you know, you can go from like the cleanest sound to like the most crushing, like rhythm tone and, you know, really punishing riffs along with like beautiful solos and chords and things like that too. And it just, it's adding a lot more textures. And, you know, I find some of the newer technology that's coming out is very inspirational as well. And, you know, you can use those sounds and they just put you in a certain mood or a certain place where it comes out really well in the songwriting.
On the subject of the technical side of things, I'm sure that having worked at EMI and having had access to their facilities has really helped you as a musician as well.
Well, you know what? Actually, I was talking about this earlier, but it's funny. A lot of people would think that they're always miking amps and you know using these big things and all that. But a lot of times they would just use like some rack mounted Pod XTs, or you know, now they have like the Axe FX units and all that. And you know,
I'm so disillusioned, you know.
well, you know, you can really get some huge guitar tones from some of these you know, digital preamps and all that.
For sure. Now, let's change gears a little bit and talk about something that I am so proud of you guys for, and that's that you have got yourself signed to a label, which a lot of bands aspire to and not a lot of bands get to. It's DeMars Records. How did that come about?
Yeah, they approached Dex. Yeah, and then Dex told me about it, and then we just started talking about it. They were interested in our sound, and we're actually their first rock act because they're essentially an EDM house, trance, dubstep, like all sorts of subgenres and like in the
so
dance.
So they actually went out on a limb for you guys.
Yeah. Like a huge gamble, I guess. They really, they approached us and they said they wanted us to work with them. And it's been such a blessing because it was the perfect timing, I guess, you know.
Well, I think recently they had a lot of success with remixes of metal songs. So it's, you know, a fusion of like EDM and you know, and metal and all that. And also, you know, on another note, like with progressive metal, I feel like there's a lot of elements like glitch drums, and there is some sort of, you know, there's samples and there's
crossover appeal.
Yeah,
so there's some
definitely some complicated time signatures. Yeah.
So
they recognize it in our sound. So
you know, like I'm not a huge fan of dubstep, for instance, but it is kind of, you can kind of relate dubstep to maybe like more technical metal in a way. Like there's weird sort of time signatures and, you know, sounds and things like that.
Distorted noise and whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and then a lot of like newer metal, you know, has those like glitch sounds and like, you know, some electronic elements anyway, right? So I guess they could see potential in having a fusion of like some of those electronic elements blended in with progressive modern metal.
And soon you guys will have a DJ.
No, I don't think we're going to do that route. I mean, nothing, you know, DJs are cool.
But
and
you
all
never
that,
know.
No, for sure.
We're interesting because, you know, I like to experiment with stuff. So I would not rule that out. I think
absolutely. Never say never, right?
I'm getting a feeling that someday, nah, I feel it. Someday. You never
know.
Someday.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you find that your experience as a band has changed since being signed? Because I'm sure that's something that a lot of indie bands are really curious about.
Well, it's definitely a step in the right direction. I mean, it opens up doors that, you know, aren't always available. And there's obviously, there's a lot of different things that come with it, you know, like more responsibilities and
they have a following, so you get exposed already to another group of people that never heard of you, which is great. So you get to meet a lot of new people. As artists, because this label is so honestly, not just because they're our label, they are honestly the nicest, sweetest people and so open to artists' growth that they don't push you to be, you have to be this style and you have to do this and that. They let us be who we are. Our integrity and our vision, and my vision is really, really strong for the band, and I know what I want, and I like having things a certain way, and they're totally, totally cool with that. They're really, really supportive of that, and that's why we chose to sign with them.
Fantastic.
That's got to be the most important aspect of signing a contract is, are you going to allow me creative freedom?
To be myself, which, because I've never tried to fit in anywhere, I'm just me, right? So, and they saw that. Thank you.
You guys just did a big video, and they took you down to the Dominican. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about the experience.
It was awesome. We flew out there, and we filmed part of Danger Angel, which is the next. It's part of the EP that Dimars is releasing, and it's our next single. And then we just decided, you know what? Let's film it over there. Like, just get away from here and spend some time regrouping and songwriting. And we were like, let's just use the time while we're doing that to film the video. And I can't say too much about it because I don't want to, you know.
It can be a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was absolutely awesome. Amazing. And then just actually last night, we finished the video filming it. So it's not edited yet, obviously, but.
Sweet. When can we expect to see that one?
Probably a month.
Okay.
Probably around the time the EP comes out.
Let's talk just a little bit about the process of recording this EP that you guys are preparing to release. Was it at all different from previous experiences?
Yeah. Actually, well, you know, I'm a recording engineer myself, and, you know, I can do quite a bit of the work myself, but I also feel like it's time for our band to also work with other engineers, and that's what we've been doing. You know, we've been working with some really excellent audio engineers, and then taking it in for mixing professionally and mastering professionally as well. And we've had some amazing opportunities to work with some of the top guys in that field, and it's worth it. You know, like, I mean, there's tons of people who record and who can do it themselves, and, you know, all the power to them.
Sure, but, and it's really, really easy these days to, you know, get a couple hundred bucks worth of gear and
oh, yeah.
record mm-hmm. in your basement.
Anyone can buy a decent studio and start off and all that, and that's great. But I think if you really want to take your, you know, if you really want to take it to the next level and you want to be heard, you know, internationally and all that, you have to, you know, really get people who have been doing it for, say, 20, 30 years and who are...
Because they have perspective that you don't necessarily have
yourself. Well, they have multi-million dollar studios and things like that. It's like...
Also cool.
You know, like, yeah. I don't know many friends that have that at home, right? So, and, you know, yeah, the experience is irreplaceable. And they work with the top artists. Like, our mastering engineer had just finished mastering a session for, like, Rush, I think. Or, like, you know, Tragically Hip was there, so... Yeah, you know, they work...
Trusted names.
Yeah, they work with, you know, they obviously work with good artists, and, you know.
So. Well, for sure, and then you can depend on them for the ability to craft your sound in the way that you have a vision of it. Yeah. Whereas sometimes, I mean, so many people, they, you know, I've known friends to literally spend 3 years making an album.
Wow.
And they're totally dissatisfied with it.
Oh.
Because they did it at home, and they thought that, if they spent enough time tweaking and doing, you know, whatever.
Fix it in the mix.
Editing.
Yeah. We'll fix it in post, whatever.
Oh.
I know I played it wrong, but whatever.
Well, there's something to be said about that. I mean, even though, like, for guitar, I do like some of the new digital stuff, but, like,
with
recording, like, you can't really replace analog. It's just so, I mean, there's some mics out there, and, like, even having, like, properly tuned rooms and things like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, really, like, the main thing is just to record it properly the first time, and then mixing and mastering becomes a lot easier because you know it's
you've got good material to work
begin
with.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. So. I mean, and it's like any basic piece of technology. People ask, you know, oh, why does that sound so good? And we're like, well, it's a $10,000 microphone.
It better freaking sound good.
You know, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's going to sound better than your $100 microphone. Like,
yeah, that's not to say, like, we dog, because we still do demos. We start like that. And I think as long as you show passion and you're doing it the best you can on your own to start with, people will see that and they'll believe in you. And someone will. At some point, they'll come to you and they'll help you. Mm-hmm. And then you take to the next level. I still
do a lot of the work of myself. I like doing my own editing, and I like recording stuff that's direct input, like digital elements, you know, because I can do that myself. But when it comes to anything analog, like drums, vocals, things like that, that's when you really do benefit from going to a good studio, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Even just, I mean, like you were saying before, for drums, you just need a tuned room, and you need someone who has, you know, hopefully, you know, decades of experience
expertise.
Placing the mics, knowing where exactly each will go.
Because I like big so rooms for drums too.
Oh yeah, where you can get that natural reverb in it. It's just like a huge ceiling. Yeah, absolutely.
You want good mics for drums, you know, like a big room and good mics. That's like, and you know, if you have like a Neve console or something, you know, like.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, yeah, now no one understands what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're getting pretty technical here.
Sorry, we're just nerding out over here. Exactly.
Wasn't ready.
Let's talk a little bit about the EP release and the plan you've got for that.
Yeah, the EP, as far as I know, I think it's going to be out probably in a month or two at most. And we're excited because one of the tracks is a Mila Star project, which is my side project. And it's a slightly different sound, a little bit poppier.
MSP. Than,
yeah. So sorry. It shows the roots, you know, my earlier roots. So that's pretty cool. And then we have about a couple of Tiger Star new tracks. And then the rest of the EP is... DeMars has a number of DJs that are remixing those tracks. And so it's going to be one EP of originals and remixes.
I was actually seriously going to make a joke before when you were talking about all the electronic music on the label. Like, you guys totally have to get some of the songs remixed because that would be so cool.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. I think from what I've seen just from meeting people and talking to like lots of really cool people from DeMars and a lot of their fans... they're open. They're very open-minded. I mean, they like any music that's just good, right? But I think a really good way to open the doors is to get these DJs to remixing some of our songs, and you know, like that's gonna obviously, you know,
people are gonna
hear about us that way.
Yeah, exactly. It's also a whole new genre, and I mean, electronic music heads have really finely tuned ears for technical stuff. And
if
you know, selective. If they're choosing to remix your music, it's kind of a badge of honor.
Yeah,
it's and,
pretty cool.
And EDM is interesting too because it's not like contemporary pop by any means, but it's so huge, like it's such a large genre that it's kind of like taking over and forcing itself onto the radio, forcing itself into the mainstream.
This is so
but it's actually its own thing. It's like underground, like dirty dance music. Yeah. Like
it's this it's this fringe stuff, but like every single youth is into it. Yeah. Like it's crazy. Let's talk a little bit about where you guys are, whether it's planning on going or where you'd like the band to go right now.
A couple of things I'm going to keep under wrap just because I want to surprise people.
We're going on tour.
We are going on tour. That's true. We're leaving. Well, we got several Ontario dates in April, and then we're going to take off to the US from May 1st and then come back, I think, June 7th.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're so excited because it's our first tour. And we're going to probably start at, I think it's in Brooklyn, and then we go through the states, like Austin.
From one side to the other, sort of?
Yeah, and we go to LA, and then we come back up to Chicago, Detroit, and then... we're really looking forward to it because you get to expose yourself to a totally different, you know, let alone country, but people and make friends. And so that's exciting. And then expect more videos. This is the year for Tiger Star videos. This is
nice.
Lots of graphics.
And I think it's fair to say the music is going to get heavier and more progressive. There's going to be some gent elements in there. For anyone who knows gent.
Nice. And where can people find you guys online?
Facebook, Tiger Star?
Yeah, right now on tigerstar.ca. Mm-hmm. Pretty much you can listen to our tracks, watch our videos, and get acquainted with us there.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming out and talking to us on this wonderful Monday evening. This has been another episode of The Roundtable, and my name is Gideon.
My name is Jules, and if you would like to submit a song, book an interview, or just tell us how much you love us, you can do so at indieroundtable@gmail.com. That's indieroundtable@gmail.com. Every time. Stay tuned for another episode next week with Littlefoot Longfoot, and until then, happy listening.
Jules, stop hitting the laser button.